Today on the show, Eva and I are bringing you a special two-part look at two bands who share the same home turf, Sydney's Northern Beaches, but sit at very different points in their musical journey. First up, Ocean Alley, a band you've almost definitely heard of. They started out jamming in a backyard shed, playing at small local venues, and now they've gone global. They're currently on a world tour off the back of their brand new album, Love Balloon. And then we'll be chatting to Scoot the Loot, an emerging Northern Beaches band who are still in those early days of building a name, finding their sound, and trying to break through in a tougher live music scene. They've got new music on the way too, and we'll hear all about that a little later. But to kick things off, we're winding the clock right back to where it all began. Ocean Alley's Angus Goodwin and Mitch Galbraith told us what it was like making music and performing together in those early days, long before the international tours and festival stages.
I mean, we were just hanging out because we wanted to hang out with each other at that point in the shed, and then kind of started sounding okay and all right, and once we had a few songs of our own, it was kind of just fun for us to go and spend our Saturday nights together playing to people.
Yeah, and playing at Novel Hotel or The Stain in Manly or World Bar in King's Cross.
It was more of a party than anything else, really. Yeah. I mean, like, it wasn't that serious at that point, so it was a lot of fun.
While Ocean Alley began in a backyard shed, Scoot the Loot's story starts somewhere a little different. We spoke to Toby Jones, Max Lush, Will Sides, and Blake Lacey about how the band first came together in a high school music class.
We went to school together, and we were in the same music class, and we had to do an assignment. What did we cover? We covered something in front of the whole school.
Probably Red Hot Chilies.
Yeah, something like Chili Peppers. And we had this little soundproof room that wasn't really soundproof. And we're practicing, we're really nervous. And then it sounded so sick. And so, we just thought like it was good fun. We were gelling. And then that was all for a little while. And then we were reminiscing at a party. And we said, how fun would it be to actually try and do something for real? And so we took about 6 months to finally meet up to practice, and kind of went from there.
Yeah, so it kind of started accidentally, I guess.
Happy accident. What was it like making music from the start and performing together in those early days?
Well, we had a lot of fun doing covers for music assignments, so like coming together and playing Red Hot Chili Peppers, whether it was Arctic Monkeys,
Black Keys,
yeah. It was really after we sort of made the band official and did a youth band comp where we, part of the entry requirements was making original music. So that was really our first foray into the creative sphere, making songs together as a band. I think we really gelled writing songs together. It was really enjoyable, and we've kept on doing it ever since.
Returning to Ocean Alley now, I ask Angus and Mitch what they believe took them from a local Northern Beaches act to international success. So what do you think has made Ocean Alley so successful then?
First thing is we've stuck together somehow, so that counts for a lot. And if I was going to give advice to any young band starting out, it'd just be like, just
choose the right people.
100%. Choose the right people, choose the right, and just do what you love and just keep doing it. But the rest of it's just a bit of luck and a bit of timing. You can think you're writing the sickest music ever, and it can be objectively good music, but if like people aren't going to buy it at the time, then you're not going to sell tickets or CDs.
Yeah. Sell music?
Music.
Music in general.
People don't buy CDs anymore. They just buy records, don't they?
Yeah.
That's true.
Vinyl's made a huge comeback, but massive. Not so much CDs. That's
why you live. So after hearing what Ocean Alley think made them successful, we posed that idea to Scoot the Loot. We spoke to Ocean Alley a few weeks ago, and they put their success down to two main things: luck and the booming Sydney live music scene before lockout laws. Do you think it's harder for emerging bands to make it big these days?
I think recently we're seeing a lot of that coming back in the live music scene. There's a lot of efforts. I mean, for example, the band comp in Palm Beach not so long ago. It was a $10,000 prize for the winner, and lots of bands came together. It's a huge audience coming together as well. That's just in the beaches. In the city, we're seeing a lot of that as well. So I think there's more and more opportunities to do so, but then again, there's lots more bands as well. So I think post-COVID, it was very tough for a couple of years, and we definitely felt the brunt of that, sort of just having to form together again and get back to our roots. And now we're seeing a lot more opportunities come along, which is great to see.
Have there been any sort of mentors or other Aussie bands that you guys particularly look up to or particularly, I don't know, have some sort of influence from?
It's funny you've got Ocean Alley doing an interview as well, because them, sort of Lime Cordial, those kind of guys that are from our part of Sydney, Northern Beaches, they've shown that, you know, in a similar genre, they've made it and they've made some really cool stuff. And I think without stealing, we've taken a lot of inspiration from them. Yeah, they're both really cool bands.
Is that kind of where you guys want to be, kind of at that level?
Definitely. I mean, yeah, they are at the forefront of Aussie music probably at the moment, at least in that genre. So, yeah, from there and above.
It'd be cool as well to be a part of a lot of people's day, just to be on their speaker, on at the beach, when they're having a barbecue. Our music could make it better. Like, I think that's a big thing that I personally want to do with this is just,
so good.
Become part of the culture.
I love that.
Yes. So that's kind of the collective end vision for you guys.
Yeah. And get heaps of money.
So honest.
It's all what it's about, hey? And you guys play across Sydney. How do you find sort of Northern Beaches crowds compared to other areas of Sydney? What's the Northern Beaches crowd like compared to, let's say, like inner west?
Kind of stiff.
We love everyone that comes to our shows. We love
absolutely.
Everyone's great.
Yeah,
turn the volume off if you're from the beaches. You get more. There's more creativity out in the inner west than in the city, and so that you just, I don't know, you get more kind of cultured people and more people who are like willing to embrace the music live and, you know, actually dance. And there's I'd say in the Northern Beaches, people are more interested in DJs and the live venues are kind of just getting topped off. Even like a week ago, the Manly Boat Shed just got closed down. It's kind of like, it's definitely a lot more reception out here for sure. Yeah.
So it sounds like you guys find the Northern Beaches a bit of a tough crowd.
It's less the crowd, more the venues.
Right.
Shout out Hubbard Hilton. I think with pokies, you just get such an easy profit from pokies. So there's no real need to get beers sold. There's no real need to get a band in to get people in. It's just, I don't know, people just don't care anymore. They make money from pokies. And so Hilton's really cool because they've... Hubbard Hotel, sorry, that's the nickname.
Yeah.
Hubbard Hotel is very cool because they kind of still try. And so they're getting bands in every week. They're giving local bands a shot. And that's why the crowd there is pretty good because there's just space for it. And I think what you said, Will, about the Inner West and Blake, like, it's really cool, but there's just so many venues that care, so many venues that want something to happen. And I think there should be more of that in every area. Like, we want to play in Parramatta, but... where, you know?
As we just heard, Scoot the Loot is worried about Sydney's current live music landscape. And interestingly, Ocean Alley echoed some of those same concerns as well.
So the Northern Beaches community responded quite well in the sense that maybe it was just a party scene for people? Or was it more like people trying sort of to figure out local bands?
There was a bit of a music scene. Like, we had a bunch of other friends in other bands at that same time that were kind of playing shows and stuff.
But it was a bit of a party
scene.
We were 18, 19 and, like, you know, so were all our friends. And so, yeah, it was, I mean, it's just good fun for young people to go out and listen to music and go hit the town.
And have the ability at, like, the local pub to have that, you know.
It hasn't been like that since, or it's changed, you know, everything always changes. And so hopefully the the government in New South Wales and the government in Sydney and the surrounding councils can realise that and make sure that they continue having those spots available for people and championing independent music, independent radio stations like, you know, like yourselves and stuff.
And there you have it, Ocean Alley and Scoot the Loot. But wait, don't go anywhere. We're not done. At 10:15, they'll be back and we'll be speaking to both bands about their new music and tours. Stick around for that. It's going to be a good chat. But we're actually going to play the title track from Ocean Alley's new album, Love Balloon. That's playing right now. You're listening to Eva and Will on 2SER.
The album Love Balloon by Ocean Alley.
Earlier in the show, we spoke to Ocean Alley and upcoming band Scoot the Loot about their beginnings on Sydney's northern beaches. Ocean Alley is back now. We spoke to them earlier about their new album and tour, asking first about why they chose to focus on the theme of love for their new album.
Well, we wanted to do something different from the last release we did, Low Altitude Living. And yeah, we wanted to be more upbeat and joyful, and maybe it's representative of some of you know, our changing lives these days. Some people starting families and all of that. So yeah, we just wanted to be happy and fun and loving.
That sounds great. Good.
So Love Balloon is your fifth album. How do you think your sound has evolved since your last album?
Well, like Mitch said, we tried to make this one more upbeat. We sort of wrote the whole thing over the course of a year. So I feel like there's a lot of kind of diversity between the songs. Each song kind of has its own sort of things going on.
Yeah, and there's a focus for it to, you know, we really paid attention to how it would translate in the live setting as well. So that was a focus of that was a focus sonically for the record. We kind of wanted, we always try to do that, but we put extra care into making that the case this time.
Yeah, it's fun playing songs live that kind of work and people can kind of dance and have fun too, opposed to something that's sort of slow and...
Yeah.
So this album is a lot more upbeat than what you've previously created.
Yeah, we think
I mean,
so.
Yeah.
We went out of our way to try and do that, so hopefully
just,
it comes across.
Worked on grooves and stuff that kind of, you know, kind of get your foot tapping, hopefully. But yeah, just good for a live setting as well.
Is Love Balloon more personal than your earlier records?
It could be, because, I mean, Baden's the lyricist for the majority of the music we write. And, yeah, I know he was drawing on some of his personal... you know, things going on in his life, but us also, yeah, probably the same. I guess we had all this extra time to do the record, and like I said, yeah, it was like basically over a year we constructed it. So, yeah, we had a lot of downtime actually since the tour's finished at the end of last year to write this record for the beginning of this year, and so...
It was thought out, like the whole process. Especially like all of our parts that we did, we kind of got to sit on those for a while and sort of refine them, get them to a point where, you know, we're stoked with it, which I think with other albums have kind of, the whole process
felt
has
a
been
little rushed.
Quicker. So it's been nice to take our time.
And you guys are currently on a world tour. So what has that experience been like so far?
It's been fun. We were just in the States and then...
Did a couple of festivals in Europe.
Yep. And then we're heading back to the States in about a month.
Via London.
Via London. And awesome. Then we've got South London America town. For the first time, which will be...
And then we'll be back in January, Feb for Australian tour.
Yeah, sweet. And what's the crowds like over there? Is there a particular place that you enjoy playing live in the most?
I mean, Australia's our favourite.
Yeah, yeah. Easy. But, like that, we're not even like just saying that. Easy. I would say
that the English are probably, they probably come in second in terms of like rowdiness and fun.
Yeah, they came
but
in
Aussies hot. Are always first.
Well, Aussie, yeah, I mean, Aussie festivals, everyone's kind of going pretty crazy, aren't they?
Bit loose,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like the Americans.
Americans have their days.
They certainly do. So I guess you guys enjoy playing at home, kind of where it all began, compared to overseas.
Yeah, we love playing to home crowds.
Yeah, it's all good. We don't mind playing anywhere. But sometimes it is funny. You go, you know, travel to the other side of the world, play in America, and you can hear Aussies in the crowd going, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. And you're like, oh, fuck, we came all this way to play to Aussies. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So I bet you're looking forward to then finishing your tour back home in Australia and playing for a home crowd. So is there a specific venue in Australia that you really enjoy? Maybe something that where it all started?
One of my favourite venues in Australia is River Stage in Brisbane.
Okay.
It's like right on the banks of the mighty brown snake there, and it's like it's got this festival vibe because there's this grass amphitheater and the stage is like kind of out, it's like an outdoor venue. And it's a really cool spot to play. There's a lot of acts that go through there. I think G Flip, they've got a gig coming up next year in March there, and yeah, we've played there many times and it's always a good time. Actually, last show there we played almost got shut down because of lightning and stuff, which is pretty annoying.
Oh, but, wow.
But it's an outdoor venue.
But the vibe of the venue is awesome. It's like right near the Botanical Gardens in Brisbane. So, yeah, that's sick.
Wow.
Wow, that would have been a cool show to play with all the lightning in the background. That could have been like a really great experience, but it got shut down. So
It was close. It was close to getting.
We were just postponing it for half an hour until it simmered down a bit.
Oh, I see.
And there you have it. That was Ocean Alley speaking to us. We spoke to them a little bit earlier. Very lucky to have them come on into our studio. And Ocean Alley is coming to Sydney in late January. You can go to oceanalley.com.au for info and tickets. Now, Scoot the Loot is back as well because they have a gig this Saturday night and new music on the way as well. We spoke to them a little earlier.
What have you guys got coming out? Can you tell us a little bit about it? Give us a little teaser.
We got a single.
I'd say we've got a bit of a mixed bag here with a few old tunes and a few new ones. We've definitely taken a departure from some of our old Ocean Alley-esque roots into some more OG rock and roll territory. So
nice.
Get Love ready it. For some...
bit of funk as well. Bit of boogie. Yeah.
Yeah, let's not forget about the funk because there's plenty of that too.
But yeah, actually the new one, our next one, what day is it coming out? It's coming out pretty soon.
28th of November.
28th of Ooh, November.
That's a month. Before we do Good Day Out.
About a
with
month.
With a few other bands at Seventh Day Brewery.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a big show.
Yeah, brewery's keeping
what
it alive.
What date is that on?
So that's the 29th. So it comes out on the 28th. You get a chance to listen. And then
the next
big
day,
party, Seventh Day Brewery, Brookvale. You
awesome.
Can hear it live. Yeah, pretty excited about it. I think it's fun. It's a good boogie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's pretty raw and kind of straight ahead compared to some of our last stuff, but we all really like it. It's just like three chords, basically.
There's a little bit of southern guitar as well.
Yeah. There's always a bit of guitar going.
A little bit of southern.
And what are there any like main messages from the new music or like any kind of a particular meaning that you'd like listeners to take away from it?
I'd say just because of the range of time periods in which the songs were made, there's sort of a journey in terms of like where we're at the time. I know some of our older songs are a bit more emotional, drawing on sort of late teen feelings, whereas a lot of the new stuff is sort of less introspective and more just about having a fun time and really wanting to have some more energetic live shows, I guess. But yeah.
The next one is about something, though. Next one is about, like, the need to slow down. Sort of everything's going on. It's all... Life can be hectic. It's called Doctor Slow Down. And it's kind of just, like,
cool.
about, you know, the way the song goes is it kind of does get a bit heckers in the chorus because it's just representing that. But it's kind of speaking on the need to sort of, you know, take time, relax, and I don't know.
Not to add on that as well, yeah, it's like... I think some of the lyrics comment on kind of like self-diagnosing and being a bit of a hypochondriac as well. Like the chorus, give it 2 weeks now, honey, it'll be all right. It's kind of like a conversation with a doctor, and I guess it could be interpreted in several ways, but it's kind of trying to just like escape all of that in the mess of it all. So
yeah, sounds awesome. Can't wait to listen.
Yeah.
Scoot the Loot, thank you guys so much for joining 2SER for a chat today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you. Right. Thank you dearly.
That was Scoot the Loot speaking to us a little bit earlier. And as you just heard, they've got new music dropping and a show this weekend. If you want more details, you can go to Instagram. Go to Scoot the Loot's Instagram. They've got all their links and information there. We are going to play a track from them. It's called The Only One. It's one of their newest.
I've been wondering, pick it up or stop it all. Now we got plenty of time to kick back in sunlight. I drift with the clouds like a view from afar. I follow in your footsteps, hanging on to my breath. We're taking on water, pretending it's wise. So I know when we're sinking, it will be alright.
The Loot with The Only One. You're on 2SER 107.3 listening to The Daily with Eva and Will this morning.